Eloheinu, Melech Ha'olam, Shehakol Yevivro.
Amen.
We are holding with Siyata Dishmaya, Perek Chof, and Sefer Mishlei Pasukei. Alright, Shlomo Melech, Hamayim Amukim, Eitza, Belev Ish, Veish Tivuna Yidlena, Hamayim Amukim, Eitza, Belev Ish. The Eitza, the wisdom, the advice, the counsel, and the heart of a person is likened to very deep waters. Veish Tivuna Yidlena, but a man of understanding, an individual who possesses Bina, Tivuna, who knows how to be maven dover mitov dover, yidlena, can be dole, can draw it forth out of that well, can go on and draw forth the water. We know that we're talking about the wisdom. The Gemara relates to Tainus Dav Zayinim and Aleph, that ain mayim ala Torah. There's no other reference. What is mayim? Mayim is a reference to Torah Kedosha. The depth of wisdom in the heart of a person, the only way to pluck it out, to draw it forth is Ayyudei and Ish Tivuna. Now Rashi looks at the two mentions of Ish. Mayim Amukim Etzalav of Ish. It should have just said, and it's Tivuna, it's the Mida of Bino, that will allow the person to draw it forth. So Rashi and the Mitzvah David understands, we're talking about two individuals, a relationship here. You can have a Rebbe, a Rav, who Mayim Amukim Etzalav of Ish. You can have, yes, advice, wisdom, counsel, to allocate, to convey to others, but in his heart, it's buried deep like water within. However, an Ish Tivuna, a Talmud, one who understands, who possesses that wonderful Midah of Bina, Maven Torah, Midol Dabar, Yidlana Kajor forth. So let's take a peek at Rashi. And Rashi says, Halacha Blev Chacham Stuma, sometimes in the heart of a wise person, all the halachas that he wants to give out to the people, it's Stuma, it's concealed, it's hidden. But Ish Tivuna, but a Talmud Navon, a sharp, wise, and understanding Talmud, Abal V'dolos HaMimeyav, knows how to draw it forth out of his Mayayim. We know that Eliezer is called Damesek Eliezer, writes the Gemara in Yuma Chav Chesem Beis. What's the title of Damesek? It's really a conjugation of Dole U'mashke. He is Dole Mitarosa Shal Avram Avinu. He knows how to draw forth the wisdom of Avram Avinu U'mashke L'Achirim. He can then give it over to others to drink. But that means Eliezer was also a Chacham. And you have to be a Chacham to be able to do that. And that's why Eliezer is likewise described as his Avram Avinu, his master, as a Zokin V'yoshe V'yeshiva. Only when a person accumulates wisdom and you know how to chew it over and digest it and to work with it, to be Maven Dover Midol Dover, you know how to plumb the depths, you know how to delve deeply, to dive head first into the Torah, the depths of your Rebbe, of your Rav's Torah, and you can go in and pluck it out. So that's how Rashi understands we're talking about two individuals. Let's take a look at Mitzvah's David. It's the mahalech, it's the way of a wise person. He hides his counsel and wisdom in the depths of his heart. And it's very difficult for someone else outside of him to be masik, to grasp it. It's buried so deeply that it's very difficult to go in and draw it forth. But someone who is wise and possesses understanding can go ahead and draw it forth. First he's going to draw forth the water that's not the mayim ataftonim, but the water that's on top. Meaning, what's he going to do? He's going to say, I want to get everything from the Rebbe. I want to get everything from the Rav. So first I'll understand the things that are on the surface, that are more superficial in nature, things that I can more easily grasp. And then I'll take that information, I'll develop it, I'll have a chain. Just like if you want to have a rope that's going to go deeply to dry out the deep waters of the well, you'll take it piecemeal, little by little, and gradually, as you learn another halacha, and another Dvar Torah, and another drush, you'll start getting more and more of the eight. So that's why you have to go ahead and learn from a person, and you get more and more as time goes on. So that's how Rashi and the Mitzvahs understand. We're talking primarily about a mentor-disciple relationship, a Rebbe Talmud. Hence, the double lashon of ish ish. That's seemingly what it indicates, but that's not how everybody else learns.
Rabbi, can I just get a clarification?
Yes.
Rebbe or mentor is not articulate? Is that what it's saying?
No, that's that. In the end of the day, I'll give you a mashal. A person only conveys, and the Satmarov talks about this as do others, you have so many thoughts inside your heart. We know that that which you say, many psychologists even talk about, is only an expression of one-tenth of what's really going on in your mashal. Your innermost thoughts and emotions, we can often only articulate one-tenth of it. When we write it down, even less. That's why we have to be so careful when we write something down to convey our true emotions, because it's not always giving over everything that's deep inside of us. So you can have a chocham, he's not always purposely concealing it. Now there are some of us who understand that sometimes we talk his anivus, because he's so humble and modest, sometimes he does hide a lot of his wisdom. But the point is that to really plumb the depths, you have to work at it, and keep getting more and more. Many people will tell you, for example, I had the schus to go for years to shiur or Moshe Shapiro. So sometimes you go to one shiur, and you only scratch the surface, you only get a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a glimpse of his unbelievable wisdom. You have to go to more shiur, keep learning more, keep hearing in different contexts, and then slowly but surely you get more of what's really going on inside. Eitza refers to the depths of one's wisdom. For example, as we'll see in the Malbim in a second, we had a pasuk earlier in Mishlei, Rabos Machshavos Blavish, Ma'atzas Hashem Itakam. Meaning, while a person can have a lot of machshavos, a lot of thoughts, a lot of things bending about the mind, Eitza is when I worked it through, and I got to what the end result, the upshot, that's Atzas Hashem Itakam. That's why Rabos Machshavos Blavish. Person can have a lot of thoughts, a lot of different ideas and emotions bending about inside. Which one's going to last? The Atzas Hashem. Hashem will decide. So we're not talking about now Atzas Hashem, we're talking about your Eitzah. What is your Eitzah? It doesn't say your Machshava. You have a lot of Machshavas that as you're teaching a student, as you're working with a client, a lot of your Machshavas might come out. But you might have a lot of different ideas, a lot of different approaches. Eitzah is when I worked it through and I got utmost clarity and it's utterly lucid, that's the Eitzah, the final outcome. That takes a while for the Talmud to go in and get, to work through all the different ideas, to highlight what really is the gist, what's really the essence of the teaching. That's why we find, and I think it certainly connects to this pasuk, we have a well-known Mishnah towards the end of Perkei Avos. Perkei Mishnah Chafal. And the Mishnah tells us, we're talking about statements of Yehuda ben Tema, Hu Hayomer ben Chomesh Shonim Lemikra ben Esel Lemishnah, Ben Shlosh Esrei Lemitzvos, and the equivalent thereof, of course, a girl when she gets to the age of 12. Ben Chomesh Esrei Legemara, Ben Shmon Esrei Lechopa, you get to 18 years old. It's a Zman for the Chopa. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky would say that nowadays it's around 23. Again, it depends who you ask, but that's 18 for Chopa. Ben Esrei Lerdov, by 20 years old, you have to be Lerdov, according to some commentaries. If you didn't get married at 18, it's time to run after an Isha to go in and get married, or Lerdov Acharei Parnasa. At 20 years old, you got to start your own home. It's a new sense of responsibility. They went out to the army between 20 and 60. 20 highlights a sense of independence. What happens when you get to 30? Ben Shloshim LeKoach, then you get Koach, not physical strength. 20-year-old typically is stronger than a 30-year-old. Talking about spiritual strength, that you can do certain things. Rav Volbe used to say that the primary growth and learning when a person gets to 30 is more by giving over to students, by teaching other people, and then it is even learning oneself. I've been our bomb. When you get to 40, what happens? And not like George Carlin used to joke, right? You turn 40. It sounds like sour milk. Ah, you turned 40. No, 40 is what? A milestone. 40 is Bina, writes Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah on Perkei Avos. And we see from the Psukim that only when Klai Yisrael got to 40, that's when a Talmud can be Omeid al Das Rabo. Meaning you can only truly understand what your Rebbe means to convey. What your Rebbe is really teaching when you get to 40, there's no heightened awareness, a heightened level of understanding. That's 40. That's why in Sifrei Kabbalah, we find the Kabbalists tell us that you only really start learning Kabbalah when you get to 40. 40 is a whole different ballgame. It's a new level of understanding. It's one of the reasons why people chased after the Ramchal. Moshe Chaim Lutzado was already saying deep shiurim in Kabbalah at the young age of 17. So some of the Gedolim at the time, they said, what's going on? You didn't even get to 40 yet. When you get to 40, that's when you can start saying shiurim in Kabbalah. And the Ramchal himself never even got to the age of 40. The Ramchal himself died in his 40th year. He was 39 years, 7 months, approximately 16 days, I believe. And he died, he lived 1707 to 1747. He died in his 40th year. Sometimes, as we know from Talmidei Arizal, we get a gift to the world and we don't truly appreciate that gift. Hashem sometimes takes it away from us. But others want to suggest, and it's definitely hinted to by his Talmud, Rabbi Yekasiel Gordon, in the third perek of the Sefer Or HaGanuz, that the Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzana was actually a Gilgal reincarnate of Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva, we know, was one of the few individuals who lived to 120 years old. Moshe lived to 120. Hillel lived to 120. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived to 120. And Rabbi Akiva lived to the age of 120. Now, Rabbi Akiva, now we know from the story, you know, Mr. Rabbi Nosson, he was an Amoritz until he was 40 years old. He only started learning Alopes at 40 years old. So from 40 to 120, he became one of the greatest sages called the Tana Eloki, the Av of Torah Shuapet. He was a Gilgal, the Arizal writes in a number of places, a reincarnate of none other than Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov married Rachel. Rabbi Akiva married Rachel. Yaakov, Akiva, their names comprised of the identical letters. And Yaakov missed out 22 years of serving his father Yitzchak. Don't worry, Yaakov, just be patient, because Rabbi Akiva, your Gilgal, will come along and he'll serve his Rebbe, Nachum Ishkamzu, writes the Gemara Chagiga, the bottom of 12a, for 22 years. Many correlations are between the two. But Yaakov Avinu already started learning Torah by Yitzchak at a very young age. He now only has a Rabbi Akiva to be Mesakein whatever minuscule deficiencies needed a final tikkun. But in the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva only started learning at the age of 40. So somebody needed to come as a Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva and make up for the first 40 years. So writes the Talmud of Yekusiel Gordon that his Rebbe, the Ramchal, sent many hints that he actually told his Talmidim he knew that he was a Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. The Ramchal was a Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. So Avera Gershenfeld from Machon Shlomo says it's no coincidence that the Ramchal died in his 40th year. He only needed 40 years in this rule to be Mesakein the first 40 years of the life of Rabbi Akiva. Only then did he start to learn Alapes. So Moshe Chaim Lotzana was taken away in 40 years. What's fascinating is that we know historically that Moshe Chaim Lotzana, he only had one son, and he and his son died in Akko in a plague in the year 1747. And we don't know to this day exactly how he got from Akko to Tveria. Where's Moshe Chaim Lotzana buried? Anyone who's been to Tveria knows that in the heart of Tveria you have the burial spot, the kever of none other than Rabbi Akiva. And right next to Rabbi Akiva is the kever of Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzana. Nobody else in that vicinity. Rabbi Akiva and Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzana are buried right next to him. And as Avera Gershenfeld says, to this day we have no idea how the body got there. But we know it's certainly the kever. We have a Mesorah and that Ramchal is buried there. And part of the idea is because he's a Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva, he only needed 40 years in this world. And that's the Madrega, though, of 40. 40, a person gets to a level called Bina. And what happens when you get to 50? 50 is Ben Chamishim La'etza. How do we know that? From the Levium. The Levium worked until the age of 50. And what did they do after 50 years old? Early retirement? No such thing in Yiddishkeit. So what did they do? I write to the Posek in Bamidbar, Dalet Chav Gimel, Mibem Shloshim Shana, V'mala Ben Chamishim Shana Tefkod Osam. And then what did they do? And they came back and they taught all the younger Levium after they got to the age of 50. They started giving Eitzah. They started telling Levium exactly how to do the Avodah. What to do right, what not to do, wrong. And that was being Meyaitz. But notice, when do you have Eitzah? Only after you have Bina. After 10 years of working on developing and intensifying and enhancing your Bina that you got from 40 to 50, only at 50 you're really able to give over the deepest insights. Meaning what? The Eitzah. As we said, Eitzah is the final insight. After you work through all the machshavas, that's the final result. And to give Eitzah, that's when you get to 50. So my mamukim Eitzah B'levish, a person who's teaching somebody else, might have all that water, that Torah, that chokhmah, that wisdom buried deep inside. But for somebody else to get it, you need someone with understanding who knows how to pluck out the Eitzah. Maven Dover Medil Dover knows how to appreciate and to revere that Eitzah and knows what to do with it. And knows how to draw it forth. So that again is working within the context of Rashi and the Mitzudos, that we're dealing with the double mention of Ish, alluding to the fact that it's two separate people, a Rav and a Talmud, a Rebbe, a disciple, with his mentor. However, the Malbim doesn't learn like that. The Malbim learns, and this is the Mashmas Rabbeinu Yonah, we're talking about one person. All right, the Malbim as follows. What is the Eitzah? Eitz is the final result. Liv charatova moviko chelke efsher. That means you've explored all possibilities. And now you want to know what is the true approach. What is the right answer? We always have millions of thoughts. Things are racing. Why can't we fall asleep at night? Because our minds are always going. Jews are always worrying. We can't fall asleep because our minds are always filled with thoughts. And thoughts are running all over the place. Like a flood that's inundating your heart and soul. And that's Rabbos Machshavos B'Levish. But the Eitzah that's going to come out, which is the final result when you've worked through it and you've filtered all through that water, and you now want to come to the final result, the upshot, to be Bocher B'Tov Mikol Chelkei Efshar, HaMovel HaTachas HaMavukash, that's going to lead you to that which you're seeking. That final eight says, Nister B'Omak Alei B'Makorat Sofim B'Omak Tom Rabba. To really pluck it out, you need what's called Yediyas Das Atzmeinu. And Revolva, as Marich elaborates on this theme in Chelek Aleph of Alei Shor, the Malbim understands we're not talking about two separate people, we're talking about you as an individual. To know the real you, it's a major avoda. There's no one who could say, I figured myself out. It's a lifetime of work. And Avos Shapiro used to say that even on your deathbed, you don't necessarily know that you figured yourself out. It's a lifetime of constant work, tests, trials, to get to know yourself. What makes me tick? What am I all about? So you have a lot of machshavas, but Eitzah is, what is the road, the right road for me? Everyone has a different road to get to the Tachlis HaMavukash, to get to the ultimate aim, the goal, the final objective that you have to seek for yourself, to really know what is our job, that is concealed and hidden in the depths of a heart. V'yish Eitz al pi ha-chachmo. And what is that Eitzas? That's the Atzas Hashem. Shehin chachuk ha-chachmo. And that means what? To know what does God want for me. That's the Eitzas. The same Rabos Machshavas Belevish. Here, my Mamukim, Belevish. You have a lot of deep ideas, a lot of deep thoughts that are very deep inside. What's the right mahalik? That which stems with the Rotzon Abori, that which Hashem wants from you. How do you know what Hashem wants from you? Well, if it's easy, then that takes away the whole mach tachlis achayim. Life is about, go figure yourself out. Get to know yourself. Get to know your real essence and what your specific job is in this world. So what do you need to do? You kabel eitzah zu me'acherim. You gotta go learn from other people. You gotta go hear advice. By going to other people who have already acquired wisdom, they'll guide you, they'll lead you down the path. And Moshe Chaim Lutzado, on the topic of the Ramchal, he writes in Mesos Hashon, when you're going through life, what is life? It's a maze. It's a big puzzle. So he gives the Moshel, he draws the metaphor of the garden maze. If you want to know how to maneuver through the garden maze, go to the person who already succeeded, already made it out on top. Go to the Rav, go to the Adam Gono, go to the Gono of Yisrael, and ask that person for advice. How do I get there? How do I get to the end of my own personal maze? And that is how we can go in and figure it out, to choose the right way for me, which is in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way I could get there is using my Bina, which is Maven Dover Medil Dover, the Yishpot Bekoch Binosa Kochelke Yasoser, and I could judge, I'm going to tackle, I'm going to go through all the different Efshoriot, all the different possibilities, all the different routes, and I'm going to analyze them, and I'm going to scrutinize them and tackle them, and I'm going to see Liris from Kol Hamon and Machshavos Eza Tobi Kolom, which is the best of them all, the Chakira Sabina Yedei Akeshim Dome Kedola Maimi Mokam Omuk Shemekasha Cheva Bechevel. If I have a pitcher and I want to go to the depths of the well, what do? I put a rope, but let's say the rope doesn't reach all the way down. I got to get another rope, tie it to this rope. Oh, it still doesn't reach, tie it to this rope. Meaning what? Keep adding on new things. Keep getting new information. And when I get new information, oh, I learned this idea in a Muslim Sefer, this idea I learned to Mishlei, this idea I learned to Koheles. Writes to Mamam, keep putting together the rope to get to know yourself. You can't get to know yourself. Oh, let me open up a Mishlei and that'll tell me all. No, you got to learn a little Koheles. You got to learn a little Tehillim, you gotta learn all the Tanakh, all that wisdom, that's Dina, maybe Dover, maybe Dover. Keep tying one string to another string until you're going deeper and deeper into the recesses of your soul, until this Pasuk, and this idea, and this Shir, and this lecture, and this Kapitel Tehillim, all that unites together until you've built yourself a rope, that gradually throughout your life can go ahead and delve ever deeply into the inner recesses of your soul to pluck out, to draw forth who is the real you, what makes you tick, and what does Hashem really want from you in life. Using Bina, you know how to get to the MS. That is all part of it. We are supposed to get to know ourselves. And the way to do it is we have to learn from Lomid Mikol Adam and Lomid all different types of Sfarim until we can put together a rope, a figurative metaphorical rope, that through our lives can draw forth into. But that is what we're supposed to do.
I have so many people who come to me, unfortunately the opposite gender, yours, who say, sorry.
We're not all that bad. Runner up is
but
not all that
bad. Say, I'm not used to looking inside. I'm not, and I try to say, but you should be, because Hashem gave you this part of yourself, so why are you not exploring it?
That's right.
And their answer is, well, I never did, and I'm fine, and I'm functioning, and why do I need to do that now?
Because we have to get to know ourselves. Everyone gets judged in accordance with their capabilities. Not everybody. Remember, to get to know yourself. This is saying that you're supposed to do that, but the only way to get there is Ayyadei Bina. Not everybody has the level of Bina, of Tvun, of understanding. That's why it is far more common in females to do this. Why? Because who is all about Bina? Habina is woman. Vayivan, right? Menatzela. Bina Yaseiro is endowed. So you find very often women spend more time with introspection and getting to know themselves. But it's an obligation to all of us. So I want to bring it out with the following. The Vilna Gaon already talks about this in his commentary on Sefer Yonah. And the Nesiva Sholem discusses this as well in a piece of Parshas Nitzavim. And at the end of the day, when we get up to Shemayim, God's going to say, did you learn as much Torah as you were supposed to? Did you become the biggest Hefet Hashem as you were supposed to? Did you give us much Stalka, Mitzvah, Masa Tovim? And of course, God's going to run through the list, and we have the Gemara and Shabbos, the bottom of 31a. We have six primary questions. And the end of the day, we're going to get, what is the number one thing that God expects from us? Writes the Vilna Gaon, every neshama is sent into this world on a mission. And our job is, what is my specific tafkid? Which means, we all have to learn Torah, we all have to keep Shabbos, keep the Tayyid Mitzvahs to the best of our ability, we all have to give Tzalk of a Chesed, everyone his or her own level, capability, ability, etc. And that is something that's Mesha Shaykhi, that's relevant to each and every one of us. About the main Nakuda of the judgment, writes the Vilna Gaon, is, every neshama has to get to Shleimus. That's the way we get to Shleimus, is by learning Torah, doing Mitzvahs, Tzalk of Chesed, Masam Tovim. But the main judgment is, did you work on getting your neshama to its respective shleimus? Because if not, the neshama has to be nizgagel, has to come back, and, excuse me, in order to reach its desired state of perfection. The main din in Shemayim, writes the Vilna Gaon, it's very scary. It says you can have a person who worked on himself or herself, got to know himself or herself, knew, what does God really want me to accomplish in life? If that person worked diligently and incessantly on achieving what he or she was intended to accomplish, even if you have two people going up to Shemayim, and person A learned more Torah, gave more tzedakah, was a bigger Baal Chesed, but never bothered working on figuring out what is my unique role, what is my unique tafkid, person number two who did that and achieved that might be on a high madrig in Gan Eden Shemayim. Because we all have a job and we have to get our neshama to perfection. How do we know? The Gross says, by Bina, by understanding, by getting to know, what are my tests in life? What are my nisyonis achayim? Writes the Vilna Gaon. God doesn't say, sit back and just, I'm giving you hints. The Vilna Gaon writes, the tests in life that you have, the most frequently, the most often, the most difficult tests, the ticket to greatness is through the most difficult nisyonos. Ravolba writes, when he's addressing Yeshiva Baruch Haman Ali Shor Chelek Aleph, he says, the hardest part that's for you in learning, that's the one that you should work on, because that's where your greatness is going to come from. Everything, nisyonos, what made Avraham Avinu so great? A famous Vilna Gaon. He has 10 trials. What was the last one? Akedas Yitzchak. And what do we find back here? It says, Ati Yadati Ki Yerei Elokim. I ask the Vilna, what do you mean? Now you're Yerei Elokim? Avas Hashem is greater than Yerei Shemayim. But Avraham Avinu was all about love. His whole life was love. His whole life was chesed. So that was easy for him. The Medrash even says, had Avraham Avinu not passed Akedas Yitzchak, it's not like he would have got a 90. Let's say he would have failed test number 10. Big deal. That's 9 out of 10. That's a 90. That's an A, right? He still might get into Columbia. I don't know about Harvard or Yale. I would have got a 90. He still has an A average, an A minus. At the end of the day, writes the Medrash, he would have gotten a 0. Because this is the Gilui Milsa. Why? Are you an Evan Hashem? Are you not an Evan Hashem? The first 9 are still something that stems with his nature, stems with his teva. It's about helping people, bris milah, perfecting oneself. He is the paradigmatic Baal Chesed, the quintessential man of loving kindness. What's the greatest test in the world for a man who personified endless and boundless Chesed? I want you to do the antithesis of Chesed. If you can come up with the greatest opposite of the greatest Chesed, it's to do an act of murder. Instead of giving someone, sustaining and fostering and nurturing their growth, you're going to take someone out of this world. The greatest love in the world, the classic Ava Shena Tuli Badover, is the love of a parent to a child. There's no love in the world that compares to a parent to a child. So God puts Avraham Avinu in a circumstance where it's a father vis-a-vis a child, and the ultimate Vachesed is now asked to do the ultimate act of anti-chesed, of shvichas domim, of murder, and murdering his own son, who's kachas binchas yechir shahavto, and you take parental love, a father, a parent, my love, all his children. What if he only has one child, one chosen child? You put the package together, we're talking about someone who is told that he's the future of Klai, so he's got one son who's going to be the future, and he loves us some more than we could ever imagine. And he's now asked to do that which is antithetical. That's the greatest test for him. Why? Only then is he called Avraham Avi, and now he's called Yirei Elokim Atzah. His test was in Yireh. Other people get tested in Ava. He already had Ava. That was his nature. The true test in life is to go against the grain, to do that which is most difficult. Otherwise, what in the world would you put here in this world for? If it's all easy, no big deal. We mentioned many times the Chometz Chaim in the Sefer Sheim Olam, Rav Yerucham and Das Chochma Moser, a person who learns or davens one tefillah out of pain, out of suffering, when the last thing in the world you wanted to do was get out of bed on a cold, freezing, snowy January day, when life wasn't going so great, and you still got out of bed, and you still davened your hardest, and you still put kavod into the tefillah, that tefillah is worth more than 1,000 tefillahs when life is great. Davening to Hashem and learning Torah when life is so difficult, so filled with nisyonos achayim, and still you conjure up the strength, you get more reward for that than 1,000 shiurim that are learned when it's a nice 80 degree San Diego weather day, and you have your cold iced coffee, and you're in a great mood, and your kids came back home with A's on their report cards, and everything was fantastic. So it's great, and of course you get reward, but it doesn't compare. And that's why we mentioned the Midrash Shmuel says, the last lesson in the first five original chapters of Pirkei Avos is what? Everything comes down to the end. Achron, achron, chavon. What's the end of the first five original chapters of Pirkei Avos? The last three words, the last catchphrase is, Lefum Tzara Agra, writes the Midrash Shmuel, because that's all of life. All of life comes down to that. That's sum up Pirkei Avos in one phrase, in three words. It's all about what? We're always working on our midos. It's all in accordance with how much Mesiris Nefesh, how much sacrifice, how much self-sacrifice, how much blood, sweat, and guts goes into it. That's the real test of life. God wants to see the difficulties. That is, the Koach Hashem knows. Hashem gave Avraham, so he knew Avraham was going to pass, so what do you have to test him for? Writes the Ramban, it's one thing to have it, but it's Mayim Amukim, Belev Ish. It's very deep in Avraham. The only way to bring out those kochos, to draw out those unbelievable abilities and talents from the depths below in the recesses of your heart, as Al Yadei Nisayan, through a difficult trial and test, that's naseless Gnosis Ball, then you can be held on a banner upon. I, Avraham Avinu, had the kochos, but they were latent kochos. They were lying dormant in the deep recesses of his soul, and the only way to manifest them, to express them, to bring them out to fruition, to actualize them, is Al Yadei Nisayan. It's got to be practical, it's got to come down to Maisa. It's very nice to believe in the abstract, and we know this, and I've heard this from big people. You can know everything you can have in the world of the abstract, everything can make sense, but what happens when it comes to Maisa? A few years ago, a certain Rav, who actually counts his people in Shalom Bayis, he came to my office. He says, Rabbi Fine, I need advice in Shalom Bayis. I said, you need advice in Shalom Bayis? I says, but you spend many hours a day giving people. He says, yeah, I know. He says, it's easy. He says, I know all the ideas. I know all the pieces of knowledge. He says, I can give it out to everyone. But he says, but now in my own home, on my side, he says, I can't do it. We mentioned the story of Dr. Spock, the famous story. He was putting in concrete into his new driveway. He was laying cement. He wanted a new level of concrete in his driveway. And just as he finishes pouring the wet cement, a bunch of kids come running along and they step and get their footprints all over the wet cement. The kids start running and Dr. Spock wrote all those kids training the kids books. And he starts running after them and screaming to them. He says, I'm going to catch them. I'm going to hit them. I'm going to smack them. They're in my driveway. And Mrs. Spock looks at what's happening from the kitchen window. And she says, excuse me, my husband, aren't you the famous Dr. Spock who says, you got to treat kids with love, etc.? Aren't you the one, the child-rearing expert? He says, yeah. He says, of course I love kids. I love them in the abstract, but I don't love them in my concrete. It's very easy to have all the ideas, but what happens when it comes to Lamaisa? That's the Mayim Amukim. The Ramban says it's the whole tachas of a Nisayan. We can know our kochos, but the whole idea of a Nisayan is, you know why Hashem's testing you? Because he has to bring it to fruition, to actualize them. Only when you come face to face with who you really are, when does it happen? Through a Nisayan. I had another Rav in my office 2 weeks ago, and he was going through a certain Nisayan, and he said, oh, so he came just to talk it out. And here he is, and he's a respected Rav, etc. And he's just coming to me to talk it out. And part of the idea was also, Everybody knows Amunah. Oh, Amunah, we believe. We all love Hashem. We know Hashem loves us. But then when it comes to Maisa, when life isn't going well, comes to Maisa, you can know it all, but can you live it? Tzadik b'manosa yichya. We mentioned many times, to be a tzadik, you can't just have Amunah b'secha, you have to have Amunah b'chosh. Tzadik is gematria 204, because you need two Amunos, vase Amunos. You need the Amunah b'secha, Amunah b'chosh, Amunah is gematria 102. 102 up here and 102 over here, that's 204 gematria tzadik. To know how to live with Amunah, that's the real test of life.
I did with, may I call the doctor?
Dr. Deb, yes.
Dr. Deb, if you were to give each of us anonymously a piece of paper now, and we were to write, no names, on a paper, no names, just how many men, boys, are able to do what you say? Sit, Amunah, and deep thoughts. I think, based on I only had two girls. I don't know.
But exactly.
Little boys in yeshiva, you know, from 3 years old on to nursery, daycare, whatever they're sent to, are actually sat down from Abba, Yuma, a big sister, somebody. Well, what do you think? Little girls, somehow, we are verbal. I took a master's in linguistics. Uh-huh. We are very verbal from the time we could speak. Boys, language, the whole thing with language. To talk about Hashem. You have to do it because you want to, not because the rabbi says so.
100%. But you answered your own question.
Some of them, never. And that's why divorce is one out of two.
Right. But again, you mentioned young boys. The whole point is to get to this level. It's not something that's asked of young boys. That's what we just said. To get to this level, you need bina. This is a process. This is a life. The same with the Vilna Gaon and the same with Shalom. This isn't something we're expecting when we get to Bar Bat Mitzvah. They have to be taught to verbalize that. So that's why different Rabbanim and Rabbeim, and the whole idea, that's why Rav Volbel writes 30, 40 pages on Yediyas Das Atzmeinu and getting to know ourselves. And Rav Yerucham, the Musar movement, and that's what people learn Musar for, is to get to know who is the real you, please stand up. It's a process.
I agree. It should be done at age two.
It's a process through life. It should begin it should start at a young age and it goes to life. The point is though, and that's the idea, it's not the shot, oh, we got there, oh, now we know at 30, now we know at 40, now we know at 50. It's a process through life, it's going, it's evolving, and we are always evolving. We have different tafkidim at different stages of our life, but the point is we have to ask, what am I supposed to be doing at this stage of my life? And God's throwing us different nisyonos as a glimpse into who we are and what we're supposed to accomplish. So people say, the Vilna Gaon says, a person has a big HR for something, and you work diligently on yourself and you overcome it. Notice that there are certain things you can overcome. You can have a taiva for pizza. And you can work on the taiva of pizza, and you can go to the therapist, and you're addicted to pizza, and you can work on it, and you got over that. Anything you got over, that's not your tafkid. Your tafkid in life is not to overcome pizza. And your tafkid in life is something the Vilna Gaon says, until the day you die, you'll see that Yitzhahara will always be there. It's the ubiquitous presence. It's the Nisyonus Achayim that was why telling you, as long as you're alive, you still have more to accomplish. And that's the whole idea the Vilna Gaon says. We have a job, but we have to know, what is my job? What am I supposed to accomplish?
If somebody is trying to understand their topic area and understand the core design of their life, but also like the guiding point of what it is. Mm. But I heard somewhere also, and I'm also asking, when somebody would say a career direction or anything in life, when they're thinking about that thing, like, does it expand them or does it make them feel like closed in? And that's more about, I guess, maybe a positive way or a positive, like,
100%, that's all part of it. In other words, once God gave us Kalim in this world, so some people, they need to go to a life coach. Some people need to go to Rebbe. Some people need to go to a therapist. Point is that there's so many things in our arsenal, so many different people in our Aizu Chacham Alomim Mikol Adam. Mikol Adam means, that means from books, that means from different Sfarim, different Moses Sfarim, different. You have to know how to do that, 100%. And at the end of the day, I'll tell you, there's a true story. Oh, at Bochum in Philadelphia, yeshiva. We're outside schmoozing during Moshe Seder one day, and Rav Elia Svei's brother was standing outside, about to go into the base medrash, and his brother, who was a huge Talmid Chacham, this is the older brother of Rav Elia Svei, who was on the Moetzes, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Philadelphia, yeshiva of Shmuel Kamenetsky. And he saw these boys outside of the yeshiva during Moshe Seder, when they're supposed to be learning Moshe Seder, Sharm and Shari Tshuva, And he says, boys, well, yeah, we're schmoozing now. When we start the Gemara, then we'll go inside. He says, I want you to know. He says, you know why your Rosh Hashiva is Rosh Hashiva and I'm not? He says, I'm a bigger Talmid Chacham than my younger brother. I'm a bigger Lamdan than my younger brother. He says, you know why he's the Rosh Hashiva and I'm not? Because he took Musar Seder seriously. And a Talmud in Philadelphia Yeshiva told me that he used to learn Musar Seder out loud. And he used to learn Musar Seder talking to himself. What does God want from me? What do I have to do? And how can I perfect my Midos? And when the boys heard that, they ran right inside to learn Musar Seder. And the other day, that's part of why you saw Salanta founded the Musa movement, because people were just learning, accumulating wisdom and ideas, but they weren't perfecting themselves. And he would often quote the Gemara in the sixth parak of Brachos, if you have two rolls for Lecha Mishnah, and one is smaller, but it's whole, it's complete, and one is larger, but it's chaser, it's deficient, which one do you make the bracha? The one that's smaller and complete. Why? Because you can have a lot of information, and you can read tons of books. But God wants shleimus. And that's all with the Vilna Gaon. He wants better to be smaller, but sholem. Echad amarba v'echad amamit. Uvavachi echam elibo l'shamayim. You can go in a lot. But God says, who is complete? You have to work on shleimus. That's the job in this world. To get to our tafka. Yes.
How do you explain this topic to like a little, a young child, like 6 or 7?
So again, we're...
So a friend of mine was talking to me last night, and she was telling me that she was explaining to her young daughter about a situation that happened in their family, and she was trying to explain to her that there are worse things in life. So she gave her an example of like stubbing your toe instead of breaking your arm. And then the young girl said to her, but why would Hashem want you to break your arm? So she didn't know where to go with it, but this girl was so smart, and she said, I know, because if it was only good in the world, we wouldn't know that it was good.
Wow. That's very good.
So, you didn't realize, but like, how do you explain to a young child that's like a kapara sort of thing?
The main thing is, again, different children at different ages, different genders, different situations. And at the end of the day, the main point over here, though, is not about giving necessarily the right answer right away. It's about teaching them to think. That's the main thing, to think. And to work on thinking, to analyze, to ask questions. And that's the whole idea. Tamaloa bai shalomi. They have to know to ask these questions, to ponder, to wonder. And that's what God wants, the inquisitive mind. He wants you to ask these questions.
Like, Hashem,
we don't want them. We always have to tell them Hashem loves them and that there are reasons. Different children need to hear different reasons. There are many reasons why bad things happen to good people. So this child might need to get an understanding of the kapara aspect. This child might need to get an understanding of making him or her a better person, of fixing something, of causing them to ask, what is it? Maybe I wasn't doing something right with my hands, and now I have to use it better. Maybe I used it in the wrong way. And so there are so many different lessons. It depends on the circumstance, depends on the age, what they can absorb. The main thing is to ask, to know that everything happens for a reason, to delve into think. For example, the Brisker Rav said, Amolek, Inyan Idioma Purim. And what's the main criticism of Amolek? I write the pasuk in the end of Kisei, say, why Timchazech Amalek? Because lo yarei Elokim, they didn't fear God. What exactly does that mean? The Brisker Rav says they didn't fear God? So he takes us to this past week's Parshas Mishpatim. And we know that a Ganav gets treated more harshly than a Gazel. A Ganav has to pay kefel, has to pay double, has to pay in certain cases dalad v'hei, 4 or 5 times the amount of the principal, gets treated more harshly than a gazlan. Why? A gazlan is someone who takes out a gun, takes out a knife, and robs you in full daylight, isn't embarrassed about anything. That's a gazlan. A ganav is someone who goes in a clandestine fashion, secretly, it's a covert operation, middle of the night, or he figures out, oh, you're away on vacation, right, and is able to go into the house, etc. Why is the ganav much worse? Writes the Brisker Rav, because the gazlan isn't thinking. The guy's not thinking. Yes, there could be security cameras. And at the end of the day, anyone could catch you. There could be police right around the corner. He's not thinking. He's saying, with the time, I'm going to go into the bank. I'm going to go into the bank. That's it. I'm going to go ahead and steal the money. And there's stories you can read about in Reader's Digest over the years. People go into banks. And after they rob all the money, he said, well, I forgot to plan the escape card. You know, how the mamish cases, the mamish doesn't make any sense. You have a case, a husband and wife robbing a bank, and then the wife, under the security cameras, pulls off the ski mask of her husband because she was upset with what he was doing when they robbed in the bank. And now it's on video. And I can't listen. What's shock? Because they're not thinking. A guy isn't putting in cheshbonis. They're not thinking that I need money. I'm going to go steal money. They go to the bodega. That's it. Take out the knife. Take out the gun. I want the money. They're not thinking. Security cameras work. And that's the Gazan. See, the Gazan doesn't get supposed. They weren't thinking about God. They weren't thinking about God because they weren't thinking about anything. They weren't thinking about humans either. Why is a Ganav worse? Because a Ganav says, oh, I'm following the people's daily patterns. And he's mama's scheming and he's parked across the street. And he chesrons when they're going on vacation. And he chesrons the security cameras and he looks down the street and he analyzes where, well, if I go around this route and I go through this window, and he plans the whole thing. So God, you planned the whole thing and you still didn't think about God? After all this cheshbonos and you couldn't bring God into the cheshbon, you sat there for days, for weeks, planning that covert operation. And God didn't come up the arena screen. What about God? That guy's going to get punished much more. The guy isn't thinking about anyone. But to use your brain and not think, you know what Amalek says? Think about it. Amalek planned it. Who's going to attack the Jewish people? Amalek says what? They came out of Mitzrayim. You know what I'm going to get them? I'm going to get them when they're tired, weary. Va'ata ayif v'yageya. They're tired. Keep waiting. We just got out 210 years. We didn't even wait for the bread to rise. We're chewing on matzah. And the other day, we go across Yamsuf, and they don't know all the miracles that are coming to Yamsuf, but they knew we saw it. And they planned this whole thing. We're going to get them when they're tired, when they're weary, on the derech. We're going to get them before they get to Har Sinai. We're going to get them on the derech, and it's a 105-degree day. They've arrived. We're going to wait until they've been traveling. We're not going to get them at the beginning of the journey. We'll get them several days already into the journey. Over 7 days, they planned the whole thing. And still, lo yirei Elokim, writes to Biskarov, you're going to be treated more severely than everybody else. Because every other nation that attacks the Jews, we don't like the Jews, we attack them. Oh, they went through our property. See, Chanok, that's what we're going to attack them. Oh, and them all, we'll attack them. Everyone says, let's wage war against them. Amalek planned it all out. And still, you didn't think about God? After who in the world? How do you not think about God? Shalom, your Gozen. God, you're going to face the Jewish God? And to think all that through, and to not think about God, you're going to be the worst of all. And that's Amalek, to not think. And that's Rabbeinu Yonah on this pasuk. Bola Hodiya, what's the main message of Shlomo in this pasuk? If you want to have the Eitzah Nechon Ba'adah, you want to have Das Bura, you want to think clearly, there's no way to do it without Zulosi B'machshova Mesuna V'shtoni Nakloyes. You have to think, you got to use your brain, you got to delve deeply into yourself. You go over to a well. So if you don't want to work, where's the good water? The water on top already has been exposed to the sun, and the bugs fall into the top of the water, and bacteria falls into. You want the good water. Where's the good water? The cold water is at the down, is at the bottom. And the bottom doesn't have the bugs, and doesn't have. The bottom is there. But you want to get to the bottom, you got to pull, filter through, and then you get to the bottom water. That means you got to use effort, you got to use your brain, and you need to get out the bucket, you need to get out the rope. And this is all to do what? You got to keep working and thinking, using muscle and patience, v'iyun marchei alev, and delving deeply. A person will not grasp to find the true, correct way in life. Until you use your brain and you make chakiris and you ask questions. That's the main thing, to get children to ask. And that's what we have to learn. Get children to ask and to ponder and to wonder why. What's this doing over here? Because what was the last pasuk? The last pasuk we read was Mechorv Atzalu Yachosh, the lazy person. This is the tikkun of laziness. What's a lazy person? I'm just going through life. I don't want to think. I don't want to use my brain. I just want to sit. I just want to chill. We mentioned that story of the Rav. I don't know who the Rav's identity was, but I heard the story years ago that a Rav came over from Europe and he was out in the Midwest and he had a next door neighbor and he wanted to figure out the first Sunday, is his next door neighbor Jewish or not? And his next door neighbor was sitting out in a rocking chair on a Sunday morning and he says to him, he says, Joe, he says, tell me, Joe, what are you doing? He says, Rabbi, I'm not doing anything. He says, oh, a book, a magazine? No, I'm doing nothing. Hey, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about nothing. I'm doing nothing. He says, I saw right away, he's not Jewish. He's not Jewish. That's a guy. A Jew's. Oh, you either have a sefer. If you don't have a sefer, you have a book. You have a book. You have a magazine. You have a newspaper. If you don't, you're at least thinking. You're thinking about life. How am I going to marry off my children? How am I going to pay the bill? But we're still thinking. A Jew never sits idle and just does nothing. That's the point, to use your brain. And that's the contrast. The lazy person, he says, well, when I get to the harvest season, then I'll worry about it. If you don't plant in the winter, it's not going to be a harvest season. If you want to get to know yourself, you got to use a brain. It takes patience. To get to the bottom of the well, it's going to be a long process, and it's a lifetime process. And that's why you need to pass through the years of Ben Arbol Labino and the Chamish and Laitzo to get to those levels. And that's how you get there, Machshava Chikardas. And since we spoke about Atzlus, Ben Ogeya Malacha, Palaharcha, Gamkein Ha'atzla Binyan HaMechkar V'yan. We're all lazy. We don't want to ask those questions. We don't want to get to that. We don't want to work hard. We don't want to figure ourselves out. Sometimes because we're afraid of what we're going to find out about ourselves. We're afraid of the person we're going to meet. I remember Moshe Eisenman said in Avon years ago, this is way before the days of cell phones, he asked a group of 20 guys in yeshiva, what's the first thing you do when you go into the car? First thing you do, turns on AM, turns on FM, turns on the music. Nowadays, today, you look at your phone, you get the Bluetooth on. And what was the last time you went into your car and you didn't turn on the radio, you didn't turn on the music, and you put the Bluetooth away, and you just followed the road and you just thought? Very often we're afraid. We're afraid to think. Rav Dessler writes in Milton Leo, part of the whole entertainment industry. Entertainment industry, TV, movies as well, is because the rest of the world to distract us, to divert our attention, because we're so afraid of, we're afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of spending time with ourselves. We're afraid of getting to know ourselves. And that's what's difficult. And that's his bonus. That's the whole world of Hasidus, is going out into a forest and getting to know yourself. We're afraid of it. Ask yourself how many people you know in the world who could go into a forest for 3 hours and not go absolutely out of their minds. Because what are we going to do? What am I going to think about? Think about life. Think about the purpose of life, the meaning of life. And that's this pasuk. Now on the heels of that, we got to cover some ground today. Chush is in the senses, it's in the blood. In our intellect, we can have emunah v'seichel. We can believe in God intellectually. The test of life is let it penetrate, go from the intellect down to the heart.
So chush is a synonym of lev?
Chush is synonymous with lev in the sense that it's the chushim, it's the hergish, it's the world of feeling, the world of emotion. And that's chush. I got to feel it in my guf, I got to feel it in my body. In the same way that the Kedushas Lever of Levi Yitzhak Mivarditchev grew up in the Lifish home, one of the greatest Hasidic giants, who learned by the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, he became the famous Kedushas Lever of Levi Yitzhak Mivarditchev. So what happened? He went out to learn by the Magid Mimezrich, the Mezrich or Magid, Echami, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. And he went out to learn by him. He spent 6 months by him. He came back home, and his father, who wanted him to learn in yeshiva, again, he learned in yeshiva, he was a big Talmid Chacham, he wanted to become a Rosh Yeshiva. And again, he also was a Dayan in Barditchev. He was a Rav in Barditchev, but he got into Hasidus. And after 6 months, by the Mezrich Magid, his father, a Mesnagdash Talmid Chacham, he said to him, he says, so no, how was it by the Hasidim? He says, tell me, what did you learn in the last 6 months? He says, I learned about God. And I know that there's a God in the world. He says, you needed 6 months by the Rebbe to know that there's a God in the world? He says, everybody, every Jew knows. He says, let me show you. The lowly maidservant knows that there's a God in the world. Calls over the lowly maidservant and says, no, Rachel, tell me, who created the world? Who's God? It's God, the Abishtar, God's choice. Says, look, she knows it right away. You needed to spend 6 months learning by the Rebbe. He says, she knows, she says that there's a God. I know that. I'm living with that God. I spent 6 months delving deeply into myself. I'm living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells inside of me. That's what he spent 6 months learning by the Rebbe. That's what takes time. We can know something intellectually, but to have it sink and penetrate into the soul, that's the longest distance in life, from the mind to the heart. That's what we have to do. And that's to really get to know ourselves. And that's why it leads right into the next pasuk. Rav Adam Yikreish. Rav Adam, amongst the majority of people, Yikreish, a person says, oh, what am I calling out? Chas, don't look at my chesed, look at my actions, look at all the good that I do. But ish emunah miyimtza, but a truly honest person, a person who is shomer emunah, who knows how to keep the faith, who is filled with integrity and honesty, how are you going to find such a person? Everybody says, well, look at all the chokhmah that I learned, look at the tzedakah that I give, look at all the chesed. But ish emunah is hard to find. Someone who lives it, someone whom you could really believe. I gave all that chesed, and that's what is harder to find. Or as Rashi interprets, you have many people, and they tell all their friends and acquaintances, I'm going to do gevaldike chesed to you, I'm going to help you out. Oh, that's what he says, I'll help you, don't worry. When it comes down to it, who acts on his word? Who acts on his word? Meaning what? That's the whole difference between an emstik and bal chesed. What's a bal chesed? A lot of people do chesed. A lot of people say they're going to do chesed. A lot of people love chesed. A bal chesed is someone who owns it. A bal chesed is, it's in your bones, because if God is the bal chesed, you want to be just like God. That's the chiddush of Avraham Avinu's chesed. Ma'u avata. What is chesed? It's so in your blood, it's so ingrained in your core essence, that even when it makes no sense, you can't help but to do anything but chesed. It could be the third day of a bris milah. It could be sweltering heat, 100 degrees plus outside. It could be nobody in sight, and the Medrash even says, Avraham Avinu sent the Eliezer out into the field and said, find me people. I didn't go to find any people. And still Avraham Avinu says, it's not true. Ain't over if I want to find people, I'm going to find people, because he had to help out people. It was ingrained in his essence. That's an ish emunah. That is Avraham Avinu, and mamish, it sank into his blood, writes the Chidah. Ish emunah, the Chidah writes in his Perush HaMishlei, as a person who those things be'emuna, be'emuna, be'tzmimus l'shem shemayim. A lot of people do chesed. But why are they doing chesed? Because they want their name on the building, because they want to get famous. They want other people to know that they did this chesed. Or because they're going to feel guilty if they didn't do this chesed. They don't want to be laden with Jewish guilt. Or because, no, it's not that anyone's watching. They don't need to show off. It's not because of pride and arrogance. It's because it feels good. Let's face it, it feels good to do chesed. So it goes next, you do it, you give them a check. Oh, you helped your lady across the street. In fact, it feels good. And then, did you do it for God or did you do it for you? That's all part of getting to know yourself. What are our intentions? What's driving our actions? And that's where Yerucham and Rav Volva spend so much time in the Musa Sfarim about getting to know ourselves. It's not just about the actions that we do. What's the kavana driving that action? It makes all the difference in the world. You can have two people who go out to lunch today. And one person stops for 10 seconds before lunch and says, God, I'm eating lunch so I can have the strength to learn better the rest of the day, to daven a better mincha, to have the strength so that I can smile for people and be makavakol and say upon miyavos, and to be the biggest Sefer Hashem that I can be. 10 seconds they thought that, and the Kedushas Levi writes about this in a number of places in the Sefer. The godless of a mitzvah is all determined based on the hachana for that mitzvah. The hachana, the preparation in your heart and in your mind. How did you prepare? Meaning what? Two people go out to lunch. They could be going out to yogurt together, sitting opposite each other at a table. And one says, oh, I was waiting the whole shiur. I couldn't wait to get out of Rabbi Feiner's shiur ready. So I can get this yogurt and get all the toppings and the hot chocolate fudge and get all the sprinkles. And I can't wait to get the yogurt. Geschmack, and I'm satisfying my own desire for the yogurt. And I can't wait. It's going to put me in a good mood. And then I'll take care of all the errands. Get all, oh, and it's on sale. I'm going to go buy two and get one free. And I'm going to put it away. That's what, and they don't get punished for it, but they didn't get any schar. The person right opposite them could stop for 10 seconds, make a bruch with kavanah and say, you know what, Hashem, I want to be healthy the rest of the day so I could say more to him, so I could daven better, I could learn better, I could be a better wife, I could be a better mother, grandmother, whatever the case might be. And that 10 seconds of machana gave that person a mitzvah for every single bite of that yogurt. They're going to get up to Shemayim. They ate the same yogurt at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon at the end of February. And they're going to get up to Shemayim after 120, and this one's going to see. They're going to look at the video, and it's going to show them both sitting at the yogurt store, and they both had a yogurt. And this one, their chart is not counting up any points on the scale. And this one, every second, every bite, another point. Another point, I bring on more yogurt, right? In the end of the day, more and more points. Why? Because it's all in the kavana. It's all in the chana. It makes all the difference in the world. Chavetz Chaim used to say, you can have two people after cholent on Shabbos afternoon, and they both go in for an hour nap. An hour shlof. This one says, the cholent, I'll wipe me out. Shabbos, I gotta just take a nap. That's it. They don't get punished. They don't get one penny of schar. The other person says, I'm going to sleep ashamed of onik Shabbos because the nap is enjoyable. I want to do a mitzvah of getting onik Shabbos, and I want to wake up stronger, healthier. You get a mitzvah for every single second that you're asleep. That's all about thought. A lot of you say, chesed, I love chesed. But Ishamun, how many people could we find who they mamish, it's in the blood, and they're doing it l'shem Shemayim, writes the Chidah. They're doing it solely because Hashem was Metzava. And that leads us right into the next pasuk. Mishalech betumo tzadik. Who is the real tzadik? Someone who walks betumo, tomim tiyam Hashem l'kecha, writes the Malbim. Mishalech betumo is, I'm on a direction towards tamimus. What's a stam tzaddik? A stam tzaddik, he does maisa tzaddik. He does good righteous acts, but he's not a tamim, he's not sholem. Kegeder atamimus, you know what shlemus, what innocence, what purity of thought and mind is all about? Sheyasa kol maisa l'shem Hashem bovad, like the Chidah told us, that's an ishemunim. The person's not doing it for covet, not doing it for teferis, not doing it to make money, not doing it to show off, not doing it for any other reason. All to do what? Because they want to get to shlemus. The tzaddik is not necessarily tamim to do everything b'emunah. The tzaddik does what? The tzaddik gives chesed. The tzaddik helps the old lady cross the street. The tzaddik does everything right. That's the tzaddik in actions. A person who does things in actions, that's a tzaddik. But a tamim is what? What's the thought, Rabbi Yonah says, behind the actions? What are the thoughts accompanying the actions? And that's what it's all about. So writes the Malvim, HaTzadik, I'm a salich betumo. Lasses komes, the tzadik who wants to continue walking on a path, to do every single thing, l'shem shamayim, even before he gets there. And that's a person, he's walking on the road. That's what mishalich, mishamich is betumo. I'm not there yet. That's the journey of life. The journey of life is, but I want to get to shlemus. I want to get to tmimus. I want to get to Yaakov Ishtam. Yoshe Bolin, Yaakov was in Ishtam, he was in Ish Shalem. That's where I want to go. So the tzadik who is walking continuously, and that state of innocence towards an objective of getting to Shlemus, Ashrei Banavachar, then fortunate and praiseworthy are his sons who are going to follow in his ways, explains the Malbim. The only way your children are going to follow in your ways, they're going to know your true intentions. And you see this day in and day out. You can have people, and they can give a lot of money to tzedakah. You can have people who do a lot of tzedakah b'chesed. But you know what? But the kids in the house, they really know. They really see. They know the intentions. They know why the parents are doing it. They hear what's going on behind closed doors. They can read it in the parents. They know the true intentions. If you want your children to walk after you in the right pathway, and the right way, that means you've got to be walking to Shemus. You don't have to be there, but you've got to be doing things for the right reasons, having the right intentions, because children know your intentions. They know where you're really going in life, and what it's all about. And that takes us to the next two psukim, which you can read very quickly. It's just a simple, straightforward thought. Melech Yoshev al Kisei Din. Melech, a king, sits on the throne of judgment. Mezar Be'in of Korah. And what does he do? He dispels and he scatters anyone who is filled with rasha, rishus, with wickedness, just by gazing at them, Rabbi Yonah says. He knows how to scatter. Oh, and listen, me, Yomer Zekisli, who could say that I have a pure heart? Taharti mechatasi, and I have cleansed myself from all my sins. Writes the Mitzvot David, it's clearly a reference to Hashem. Rashi brings this as one of the explanations. Well, we're not just talking about a melech pasav adam. We're talking about what? How do you go through life? Know that there's a melech malchi and melech who is sitting on the kisei hadin. And writes the Novi Yirmiyah in Perkid Zayin, Hashem is chokir leivu bochein klayus. Hashem doesn't just judge us on the basis of our actions. He's delving deeply into our machshavas, the thoughts that are driving those actions, the emotions behind every single thing that we do, think, and say. That's the idea of what? Mezar Beinu Karov. When you think about that, then there goes all wickedness. You got to get rid of rishus, you got to get rid of all ra. What's the focus on Einov? Writes Rabbeinu Yonah, because you know when a tzaddik stares at you, stares when somebody looks right into your eyes, they can see what's really going on inside you. You can't hide that. We mentioned many times Mark Salem, the famous mentalist who wrote a bestseller, The Six Keys to Unlock and Power the Mind. He says he's hired by the CIA, by the FBI, to know when people are lying. He says he watched the clips. He knew Bill Clinton just by the facial actions, was lying every single step of the way through all the scandals. He is hired, he says, but sometimes they test him with good actors, with professional Hollywood actors. He says, and even the best actors, they know, they give me false twitches, they give me false cues, and they try to throw me off. He says, and you know how I get even the Hollywood actors? I ignore every other cue. I don't look at any twitches of the mouth and the nose, and I stare into their eyes. Because when you stare into somebody's eyes, you can get the true emotional state. Right, Rabbi Yonah, Mizar Be'ein of Korah. When you know God is staring at you, when he's looking right into your eyes, forget about it. Right, to Nachman Mibreslev, we find in Shas, certain of the great Torah leaders, Nasan Einav Bo, they would gaze at certain Talmidim when they did something wrong. And they became a Gal Sholat Samas. They became a heap of bones. What does that mean, a heap of bones? The Ranachar says, it doesn't mean that they had Superman x-ray, oh, they burned you with the eyes. It means that when the Rebbe stared at you in your eyes, you had Nasa Gimli Shel Atzmius. You understood who you really are. You can't hide your true identity. If you go to a Gold Hador, and you stare, and you're tzaddik, you go to Big Tzaddikas, and they stare right into your eyes, you know that the real you comes out. And the right therapist perhaps can pluck out the real you. Sometimes it's that facial glance, it's that stare. That's what dispels and scatters all wickedness. Who could say honestly, who could say that in front of God, Hashem, I did all my actions for the right reasons, I had purity of thought, purity of mind? Know that God is watching. Ayin ro ozen shamas. He's watching, he's listening. That's a test of life. Delve deeply and find out what's really driving my actions. Who is the real me? That's how God's going to go in and judge us. It's not about all the actions, it's about who had the thoughts behind the actions. And that closes with the famous mice of the Vilna Gaon's wife and a friend. They had a pact between the two. And they said, whoever dies first is going to come down to the other one in a dream and tell them about what's going on in Shemayim. So the Vilna Gaon's wife's friend died first. She came to the Vilna Gaon's wife in a dream, and she says to her friend, who is now up in Gadayim, she says, tell me what's going on in Shemayim. She says, I'm not allowed to tell you. I'm not allowed to tell you. They only gave me permission to reveal to you one thing. What's the one thing? She says, just to give you a taste. I've had Schar works in Olam Haban, the Olam Ha'emes. He says, remember a few weeks ago, we were walking down the street and we saw an old lady who needed help on the other side of the street. And we both ran quickly over to help the old lady, to assist her. You can't imagine the Schar we're getting for that one little act of chesed. We're getting infinite amounts of Schar. He says, but you should know you're getting so much more Schar than I'm getting from the same exact action. Why? Because you pointed first. Because you were looking for that chesed. Because you noticed. And my grandfather, Sabbat Joe, Olav HaShalom, one thing he always taught us was, He says, I don't want to just teach you to do chesed. I want you to teach you to always look for chesed. And he used to say, when you go to the kotel, what happens when we go to the kotel? Ah, we're looking for that spot. What are we thinking about? When you think about it, when we go to the kotel on a trip to Yisrael, we're thinking about ourselves. You're going, you're looking at that right side of the plaza. Okay, where can I find the best spot to daven? And the shade, it's not going to be too hot. And I said, where am I going to get the best spot as close to the kotel as possible? And I'm going to daven. It's all about me. And my grandfather used to say, on the way to the kotel, look. Look at for all the old men and all the old ladies who need help getting to the kotel. Look for the people who might have fallen or about to trip. Look for all the people that might slip. Oh, people who might need help washing their hands. That's going to be a bigger sechus when you get to the kotel than finding that kishmaka spot. It's all about what? Looking for chesed. Said, you, the Vilna Gaon's wife, you're going to get tons more chesed than I am because you pointed. What does it mean because you pointed? Because you were looking at the other side of the street always to see, on the lookout for chesed. Me, once the action came, I did it. That's all the difference. Are we looking for it? What's the emotion? What's the thought process? Hatzlocha, have an amazing day and a great week. And a chodesh, tov, filled with endless simcha mitzvah.
Mechushim?
The
leaving
the Moab?
Sadik. It's Chavako. Her day is supposed to go. Chavako, Bocha, Bocha.